But what's important is we have been focusing this morning on God's love. And that verse that Sue read earlier, I think just fits so well with what we're going to look at in Jonah this morning. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And it might be well known, it might be the most well known scripture. I don't know if anybody's ever ascertained that. But it is a fantastic scripture. And I want you to be thinking about that as we take a look at Jonah chapter 4. I've bookended Jonah. I think that's the right phrase. I did Jonah 1, and now I'm doing Jonah 4. It's a wonderful book, as we've found out. And we're actually going to do a little revision on the book, courtesy of the Bible Project. So enjoy this. I hope you will. I was pretty sure I couldn't summarize Jonah any better. When I saw it, I thought, I'll just play it. So if you think it was an excuse not to speak for 8 minutes, that's fine. But actually, it is a wonderful summary. And so there we have it. According to that Bible Project presentation, the book of Jonah is there to mess with you. So do you feel messed with? That's the question this morning. Have we felt messed with as we've looked at the four chapters of Jonah? Have we identified with Jonah, or have we sort of secretly thought, Jonah, you're a mess yourself. You're hopeless. I wouldn't act like that. Because that's how we react so often, isn't it? We love it when we see the mistakes of others, because hopefully that buries our own mistakes. But if we use it as a mirror, we don't get the opportunity to bury our mistakes. We actually have to face them. Look straight into that mirror and see it. What's God saying to us? Will we run away? Will we turn back to God and help others to do the same? Will we join together to preach the mercy of God? And do we grasp the depth of God's mercy? How will we feel? Let me challenge you with this. You get to heaven, you walk through the gates, or however we get there. We don't know really, do we? But we get to heaven. And suddenly, we're alongside a multi-murderer who has confessed his sin, has been forgiven by God. Because God can forgive anyone. How do we feel at that point? Are we like Jonah? Well, just kill me now. No, that doesn't work. We're already dead. We're in heaven. So we can't just ask to be killed. So how do we feel? Because it's worth grappling with as we approach our mission in March. How are we going to limit what God can do? Do we believe that anybody walking down the street that we see, anybody, as I have mentioned before, on his nuisance of a scooter, delivering what he's delivering in his little bag, do we believe he can be saved? I find that enormously challenging. I find it easy, as somebody just said, to say yes. But I find it challenging to actually think yes, if you see what I mean. To actually, in my heart, know that God can forgive. Because that's the depth of God's mercy. God doesn't want anybody to spend eternity without him. He wanted, when he created the world, for us all to spend eternity with him. We messed it up. He got a plan together, pulled us back, if we will. but it was for everyone. And I find that really challenging. Because we ask the question, why, just like Jonah did. How can God allow such evil and suffering? More to the point, how can God love those who do me so much harm? Jonah discovered that God's mercy extended beyond his chosen people. He had mercy on the sworn enemies of Israel. Why? How? Jonah's honest. We can have a go at him, but he's honest. And we need to be honest. How is that possible? Well, because God is merciful. God is loving in a way that we can only just about get a handle on. It's a wonderful thing. You see, Jonah was furious. God said, "You care about this plant that was here for just a few hours. Why don't you understand how I feel about the thousands of people in Nineveh?" How do you not understand, Jonah? How do you not understand, Chris? It's there all the time. We need to understand. We need to try and grasp the depths of God's mercy. So what do I see in the mirror? Well, unfortunately, and I can't work out, something's gone wrong with the mirrors in our house. Because I used to look in a mirror and see a quarter handsome man looking back. And he was young and virile. He had everything going for him, right? But now when I look in the mirror, somehow it's got distorted and I see this old fella looking back at me. I don't know who he is. He looks a bit like my dad. He looks even more like my uncle. What is this going on? Well, what do I see? How much of Jonah do I see in me when I look in the mirror? Especially the mirror of God's word, of course. And that's what we're saying this morning. That Jonah is a very good mirror for us to look at. Jonah told God that he ran away because he knew that God would forgive the people of Nineveh. It's a funny old statement, that, isn't it? I ran away, Lord, because I knew you were going to forgive them. How strange is that? Except we do these things at times. We want to see people saved, but we don't want anything to change if they are saved, if you see what I mean. We don't want them to disrupt our happy meeting together, maybe. But we've got to be prepared for that, I'm afraid. Am I that confident, as Jonah was, that the people I'm praying for in my Franks list will repent and turn to God? That's a challenge too, isn't it? Jonah ran away, jumped on a ship. It was going to Tarshish. And as Martin pointed out to us, Tarshish was as far to the west as he could go of the known world. It was right down the end of Spain somewhere, we think. Not 100% sure. But am I that confident? Am I angry even that the mercy of God extends that far? I don't think I'm too angry. I run away more often, I think, because my faith is not strong enough to believe that they will turn to God. My problem is that I think I might be rejected when I invite them to something or want to share my faith with them. If I am afraid, it's a fear of embarrassment. But what about the people that are not on my prayer list? Am I worried about how things will change if we reach out to the people in this community that really do frighten me? It is, don't laugh too much, but this is the sign of old age. People do frighten me these days. You come face to face with them, right? They're big. They're strong. They're scary. How do I feel that God may well bring them in? Because he wants to save the lost. You see, I remember a few years ago now, but it stuck in my head. I was walking down to the assembly hall at Christmas, on Christmas Day. And it was early in the morning because one of my jobs for the free lunch that we used to do there was to light the ovens, and that was the first job of the day. I had to get in at about 7:30, 7:45, and light the ovens. So I was going down early on Christmas morning. As I passed one of the houses between here and the assembly hall, somewhere down near Sangster Avenue, there was an almighty row going on. This is Christmas Day. There was a man shouting at a woman. She had shut him out of the house or wouldn't let him in. I don't know the details. I walked on by. Thought it was wise. Or was I a coward? I don't know. The point was, do I believe that such a man and a woman are using language that a hardened criminal might just blanch at? This is Christmas Day. Do I believe that God has a mercy that extends to them? I hope I do. I hope you do. Because it's important. Because if I believe he has a mercy that extends to them, well, then my family and friends, they're easy, aren't they? To believe God has mercy for them too. God asked Jonah to look at himself. Jonah, I had enough mercy for you and your people, and yet you're not happy with me extending my offer of salvation to those bad people over there in Nineveh. Jonah, Jonah, I care about all my creation, even the cows. I don't know how a cow turns to God. It says it in Scripture, though, doesn't it? But how does that work? I'm not sure. I care about the Ninevites, and I even care about their livestock. Chris, I am a just and merciful God. Jesus died so even the most horrendous person can benefit from my mercy if they turn to me. Chris, do you share my mercy for a fallen world? The thing about God's mirror, the scripture that is there, is it's a magnifying mirror. Now, if there's something that will depress you more at my age than the average mirror, it's a magnifying mirror, right? Because magnifying mirrors, they show up all sorts of things. Your blackheads, they come visible, don't they? The hairs where you don't want them. The bald patches where you do want hair, all of it gets magnified. And I'm not sure sometimes that I like God's mirror, the scriptures. I'm much happier with the idea that Jonah failed God's test, but I'll pass. I will not run away. But is that true? How much am I sitting under my own vine here in Queensway? And how much am I looking forward to the day of judgment when these really evil people will get their comeuppance? When you have a conversation about salvation and the gospel with people, one of the things that they cry out to you for is, why doesn't God do something about X or Y? Or Z. We have, as human beings, a very strong sense that judgment is right so long as it applies to other people, not me. But God is saying through Scripture all the time, I forgave you and your righteousness was just like dirty rags. That's what it says in Scripture about all of us. Our performance was that bad. And unfortunately, sometimes continues that bad. And therefore, I will forgive anyone who comes to me in repentance. It says this in Ezekiel, as surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. That's our message. That's what it's all about. Now, I've spoken long enough. I'm going to show you another video. Now, this one, if anybody ever challenges you about the truth of Scripture, you need to watch this. This is something that has happened in the last few days, okay? Because if you talk about Jonah to people, they say, wow, Jonah? Swallowed by a whale? Take a look at this.
Sí, yo en un principio cuando pensé que había muerto, fue como claro, mucho terror, porque pensé que no ya no podía hacer nada, ¿no? Y cuando salí y empecé a flotar, ahí sentí el miedo de verdad de que también le fuese a pasar algo a mi papá, de que no hubiésemos llegado a tiempo a la orilla y me fuese a dar hipotermia.
That man was swallowed by a whale. He didn't stay 3 days, incidentally. The whale obviously was much more discerning than Jonah's whale, because this one regurgitated him after only a minute or so. But he was inside the whale, all right? So it does happen. So don't let anybody say it's all nonsense. So where are we? Put God's word into practice. If we have learned this morning that God's mercy has a depth that is deeper than anything we can imagine, then what does that mean for me and for you? How do we put this discovery, this teaching into practice? Will you take God's grace to outsiders? Will you strip away unhelpful church traditions and find relevant ways to introduce the gospel or offer practical support, pray fervently, give sacrificially, and go out of your comfort zone to reach people with the good news? Will you do that, Chris? That's the challenge of this mirror. Will you be proactive in developing relevant ways to introduce the gospel? You see, the leadership can't have all the ideas. They have good ideas, occasionally not such good ideas, but that's another story, all right? But they can't have them all. We've got to be proactive in thinking about ways that we're going to introduce the gospel. We've got to think about ways in which we can use Bob that 2 weeks that he's with us. He's going to be good at what he does. We know that. He's got a track record. So we've got to make sure he can meet our friends and family and the other bits of Frank's. And that may come up with ideas from you. So we've got to think about relevance. Will you support those ideas that other people have? Or will you stay under your vine? Because I won't tempt fate by suggesting that God isn't in the business these days of sending worms to undermine Queensway. As I say, Father, I'm not tempting fate here. But we've got to be realistic. We can choose to sit under the vine and be quite happy and sort of look at it all from a distance and think, yeah, that's all right. But that's not the way it is it? Or shouldn't be. We need to be involved. Our mission is about welcoming new people into the kingdom of God. However, many new converts will need practical support. They'll certainly need spiritual support, and we need to be ready to deliver that. The leadership can't do all of that. We've got to be involved in encouraging and helping people. The initiatives that others will organize will need support to prepare meals and host gatherings. Is that something you can do, I can do? Because that's important. I think we need to be bold and pray for miracles. Incredible miracles. Be careful. If you ask for 10 and God decides to bless you richly, there might be 20. If you ask for 50, there might be 100. We might have to buy more chairs. There's a be a thing, eh? We can be bold and pray for miracles. God wants us to be. God is working. We join God by praying individually, corporately. Can I ask you to pray? Not just on a Sunday when all the names are up on the board, but for our own names that we've got on our lists and for others. We need to embrace any change that is needed. Embrace it because it's God at work. We need to accept the challenge that the book of Jonah delivers to us. As I say, the mirror shows all our blackheads and we feel uncomfortable. However, God loves us, and if we allow Him, the Spirit can change our thinking and our attitudes and our idea of the mercy of God so that it includes everyone. I dare you, and I do dare you with this, to ask God to increase your compassion until you share His concern for the lost. But be prepared what that will cost you. Because you're going to walk down the street and see people that need God. Not people that you want to avoid, but people that need God. Not people that scare the pants off you, but people who need God. Not people that disgust you with their behavior, but people that need God. You'll see people in a very different light if you dare to ask God to show you the way He views it. That's the challenge was to Jonah, wasn't it? You're worried about this vine. I'm worried about the 120,000 people living in that city. That's what we need to be concerned about. So I'm just going to encourage you, if you can, stand up to sing this next song. It's the end, all right? Afterwards, we're going to have coffee and tea and we're going to finish up these chocolates, because otherwise, think about this. Rachel will have to take them home.